Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, April 4th. Encinitas is pushing back against state housing laws. More on that next. But first, the headlines. San Diego County residents have 1 week left to pay the second installment of their property taxes. To avoid a 10% penalty and $10 fee, property owners need to pay their taxes before the April 10th deadline. According to the county, property tax payments are expected to generate a record $9.1 billion. Residents can pay online, in person, or by mail. For more information, go to sdttc.com. UC San Diego is bracing for massive budget cuts. That's according to reporting from the San Diego Union Tribune. UCSD Chancellor Pradeep Khosla said in a statement the university could be forced to slash as much as 12.5% of its $9 billion budget. To cope, the university has shelved two major construction projects, and Khosla said layoffs could be coming. The financial crisis stems from multiple things, including the loss of some NIH funding for research, state budget cuts, and potential Medicaid reimbursement reductions. For the second year in a row, San Diego chef Tara Monsad is a finalist for a coveted James Beard Foundation Award. She's up against four others in the Best Chef California category. Monsad is the executive chef of Anime, an Asian fusion steakhouse in downtown, and at Le Coq, a contemporary French steakhouse set to open in La Jolla later this year. The James Beard Foundation Awards are considered the pinnacle of culinary achievement. The winners will be announced June 16th in Chicago. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and up to a 600-total-mile range with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
In an effort to manage the affordable housing crisis, California law requires cities to plan for more housing or face consequences. But one North County city is planning to push back. KPBS North County reporter Tanya Thorne joins me now to tell us more.
Thanks for having me, Debbie.
So what is going on with this law and how is it affecting Encinitas?
So these laws are something all California cities have had to follow. But recently, the city of Encinitas was forced to pass a large development that they truly didn't support. The Quail Meadows project is a 448-unit development, which includes 90 affordable units. That development is supposed to go on Quail Gardens Drive, but there's been a lot of community pushback because this two-way lane is already getting new developments on both ends of it. You drive down it and you will find construction crews working away. Residents were already worried about traffic, safety, and fire evacuations. But due to state housing laws, City Council was forced to pass this additional 448-unit development.
So, Tanya, what do you mean by they were forced?
So, California laws require all cities to have a housing element. This plan outlines how the city will provide enough housing for all of its residents, including low-income residents, middle-income, and high-income. The plan often shows developments already in the works, potential sites for new developments, and projects that are on the way. Cities either have a compliant housing element or don't.
And what happens if they don't?
Well, they could face violations, fines, and even litigation from developers, as well as California's Attorney General. Encinitas got a letter from the State Department of Housing and Community Development warning of these things if they were to deny the Quail Meadows project. The city would lose its compliant housing element, face fines and lawsuits, and also trigger something else. Builder's remedy. By having a non-compliant housing element, developers are allowed to bypass zoning rules and restrictions in order for the city to meet its housing goals. Here's a clip of Mayor Bruce Ehlers when they approved the project.
We are approving this project under duress and only because the credible threats made by HCD and the state leave us no choice.
And so HCD is the state's Department of Housing and Community Development. They oversee city housing plans.
Tanya, you mentioned Encinitas wanting to fight back against the state's housing laws. How will they be doing that?
Well, Encinitas isn't the only city with these plans in mind, but what we've seen in the past are cities taking on the state, often alone. What Mayor Ehlers plans on doing is joining other cities and coalitions to stand together and fight the state for local land use control. He says many Northern California cities are already doing this and have created coalitions and groups, and he wants to talk to nearby San Diego cities to join forces. He also hopes the community will speak up and get the attention of their elected officials. Here is a clip from an interview I had this week with Mayor Ehlers. We actually met off of Quail Gardens Drive, where all this construction is already happening for the other approved developments.
Senators and assembly people count votes. And when they start seeing the number of people fed up, and it's exactly this kind of project that, and the other projects coming, it's exactly these projects that will get the voters motivated and talking to their assembly members and senators saying, stop it, it's too much.
So Debbie, it looks like Encinitas could be the force that pushes San Diego cities to challenge the state's housing laws.
Tanya, we will certainly stay tuned. Thank you for that report.
Thanks for having me.
As new tariffs go into effect, Congressman Mike Levin says he's worried about working families. Reporter Katie Anasta says he visited Feeding San Diego yesterday, which stands to lose more than $1 million in USDA funding.
Levin toured Feeding San Diego's warehouse, where volunteers and staff organize fresh produce and canned goods. He says the tariffs will hurt families already struggling with the high cost of living. He's also worried about potential cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP.
Families get good, nutritious food through that program, and we need that program to thrive.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has already cut two programs that provided more than $1 billion to schools and food banks. About half of that funding was for the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, which allowed states to buy food from local farmers. Bob Kaminsky is Feeding San Diego's CEO.
We work with 24 farms, one as small as 4 acres, others up to 300 acres.
As costs for imported goods go up, he says demand for food assistance could grow.
Those neighbors in our communities are going to have to look for an alternate source to help cover that hunger gap they're experiencing.
He says that means Feeding San Diego will rely more heavily on private donors in order to meet the demand for help. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The special election for San Diego County's District 1 supervisor is getting a lot of attention from outside political groups. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki says they've already spent more than $2 million on the race.
If you live in the South Bay, you might be getting a lot of campaign mailers or texts about the special election for county supervisor. That's because outside groups are putting a bunch of money into the race for and against the candidates. These groups have already spent millions of dollars on text blasts, canvassers, pamphlets, and digital ads. That's according to an analysis by Edgewater Strategies, a local political consulting firm.
These supervisor races over the years have gotten pretty expensive.
Mason Heron is a partner at Edgewater. He says this election will determine whether the Board of Supervisors leans left or right.
Because this race is seen as potentially deciding whether or not it's a 3-2 Republican majority or a 3-2 Democrat majority, you're seeing a relatively high amount of spending in this one.
The outcome will influence how the board votes on major issues like immigration, homelessness, and the cross-border sewage crisis. So far, most of the outside spending has focused on the top two Democratic candidates, Imperial Beach Mayor Paloma Aguirre and San Diego City Council member Vivian Moreno, and the top Republican candidate, Chula Vista Mayor John McCann. The last day to cast your ballot is Tuesday, April 8th. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
The San Diego Botanic Garden has increased their collection of curated plants fourfold after creating the Medicinal Plants Initiative. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge has more on the effort to create better plant-based medicines.
This greenhouse at the San Diego Botanic Garden in Encinitas has specimens of Artemisia, Ephedra, and Yerba Santa. Ben Naiman is the director of medicinal plants research at the Botanic Garden. He says in the 3 years since the initiative was begun, their medicinal plant collection has gone from less than 600 plants to more than 2,300. He He says the initiative is a partnership between plants, scholarship, and the pharmaceutical industry.
Here in San Diego County, we would have everything needed to go from a medicinal plant that's out in the environment, study them, and actually translate those through the pharmaceutical pipeline into botanical drug products.
One partner in the initiative is the Salk Institute. Their genetic research into plants seeks to identify the gene pathways that create the plant's curative chemicals. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
The city of San Diego is renaming a block in North Park Lucky Lane. Reporter Katie Heisen says it's to honor the men who served their community for 50 years.
Lucky Wong opened Lucky's Golden Phoenix restaurant in North Park in 1975. For half a century, he cracked eggs and jokes there. He gave Christmas gifts to customers, remembered their orders by heart, cooking and serving them himself. Lucky's daughter, June.
He's an example of how one person can impact many.
North Park changed, but Lucky and his prices never did. A full breakfast plate for under 10 bucks. One customer called it a place for the crustiest of punks and the bluest of callers.
After a rough night, that was the place that they could afford to sit and be made to feel at home.
That's Matt Lyons. He owns Tribute Pizza across the street and created the petition to rename this block of Grimm Avenue Lucky Lane. Within weeks, more than 4,000 people signed. Lucky died in December at 90 in the same place he lived, his restaurant. Lyon said Lucky had tried to sell it to him, to keep it going.
I told him that I didn't think that his legacy was that counter or that old Coke machine, but his legacy was him.
Lyons is raising money for the cost of changing the sign. Any extra will become seed money for the Lucky Wong Memorial Scholarship for underprivileged culinary students in San Diego. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. This week's podcast was produced by Andrew Dyer and Brendan Tucinardi. The podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by PaintCare, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.